Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we are reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 20, and we start from verse 103, and the verses with the purports will be 108 and 109. So verse 103. Sadhya sadhana tatva puchite najani kripakari sabatatva kaha taapani. Actually, I do not know how to inquire about the goal of life and the process for obtaining it. Being merciful upon me, please explain all these truths. So later on, we'll come back to what these verses are saying. We'll first go, we'll read all the verses. Prabhu kahe Krishna kripa tomate purna hai sabatat fajana tomara nahi tapatrai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Lord Krishna has bestowed his full mercy upon you so that all these things are known to you. For you, the threefold miseries certainly do not exist. Krishna Shakti Daratumi Jana Tatva Bhava Chani Dardya Lagi Puche Sudara Sadara Svabhava. Since you possess Lord Krishna's potency, you certainly know these things. However, it is the nature of a sadhu to inquire. Although he knows these things, the sadhu inquires for the sake of strictness. Achirat eva sarvarta siddhyatyesham abhipsita sattarmasyava bodhaya yesham nirbandini mati. Those who are eager to awaken their spiritual consciousness and who does have unflinching, undeviated intelligence certainly attain the desired goal of life very soon. Prabhupada is saying that this verse is quoted from the Naradiya Purana found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Yogya patra hoatumi bhakti pravarteite kramash sabatatva shuna kahiye tomate. You are fit to propagate the cult of devotional service, therefore gradually hear all the truths about it from me. I shall tell you about them. So then text 108 and 109. Jivera Swarupa Hai Krishnera Nityadasa Krishnera Tatashta Shakti Veda Veda Prakasha Suryam Sakirana Yache Agni Jivala Chaya Svabhavika Krishnera Tina Prakare Shakti Haya. So we'll chant together. Jivera Swarupa Hai Krishnera Nityadasa Krishnera tatashta shakti beda beda prakasha Suryam sakirana yache agni jivala chaya Svabhavika Krishnera tina prakara shakti haya Jivera swarupa haya Krishnera nityadasa Krishnera tatashta shakti beda beda prakasha Suryam sakirana yache agni jvala chaya Svabhavika Krishnera tina prakara shakti haya. Svarupa Haya Krishnera Nityadasa Wat is het? Jivera, of the living entity. Swarupa, the constitutional position. Haya is Krishnera, of Lord Krishna. Nityadasa, eternal servant. Krishnera, of Lord Krishna. Tatashta, marginal. Shakti, potency. Beda Beda, one and different. Prakasha, manifestation. Surya Amsa, part and parcel of the sun. Kirana, a ray of sunshine. Yache, as Agni Jvala Chaya, molecular particle of fire. Svabhavika, naturally. Krishnera, of Lord Krishna. Tina Prakara, three varieties. Shakti, energies. Haya, there are. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. It is the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna, because he is the marginal energy of Krishna and a manifestation simultaneously one with and different from the Lord, like a molecular particle of sunshine of fire. Krishna has three varieties of energy. Purport. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains these verses as follows. Sri Sanatana Goswami asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Who am I?" In answer, the Lord replied, "You are a pure living entity. You are neither the gross material body nor the subtle body composed of mind and intelligence. Actually, you are a spirit soul, eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. Therefore, you are His eternal servant. You belong to Krishna's marginal potency. There are two worlds, the spiritual world and the material world, and you are situated between the material and spiritual potencies. You have a relationship with both the material... You have a relationship with both the material and the spiritual world. Therefore, you are called the marginal potency. You are related with Krishna as one and simultaneously different. Because you are spirit soul, you are one in quality with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because you are a very minute particle of spirit soul, you are different from the Supreme Soul. Therefore, your position is simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Soul. The examples given are those of the sun itself and the small particles of sunshine, and of a blazing fire and the small particles of fire. Another explanation of these verses can be found in the Adi Lila chapter 2, verse 96. Chivera Sarupa Hai Krishnera Nityadas Krishnera Tatashta Shakti Beda Beda Prakash Suryang Sakira Nayache Agni Chvala Chaya Svabhavika Krishnera Tina Prakare Shakti Haya. It is the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna, because he is the marginal energy of Krishna and a manifestation simultaneously one with and different from the Lord, like a molecular particle of sunshine or fire. Krishna has three varieties of energy. So before we speak on the Chaitanya Charitamrita or the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is very nice to glorify these scriptures. Krishna, they're actually non-different from Krishna. Krishna has very mercifully taken the form of transcendental sound to help us, to purify us. If it was not for transcendental sound, we would not have really any opportunity to get purified or to start thinking of re-establishing a relationship with Krishna. The situation of the conditioned souls in this material world is very horrible, actually. especially because Maya is an illusionary energy. She acts upon us, she covers our intelligence, she's constantly dragging us down. And then we think, oh, that's for the people who are not devotees. But really, this is meant for us. As long as we are still influenced by material energy, there is really no question of performing devotional service, because devotional service is a manifestation of the internal energy of the Swarup Shakti later on. And based upon what Mahaprabhu is initiating here, we will also elaborate a little bit on that. So it requires really, it requires us to be really transcendentally situated to become fully benefited from this process and from transcendental sound. So Krishna and Sadhu Acharya is generating transcendental sound, but then for us to hear it, for us to qualify it ourselves, to be able to hear it, that's actually a very elevated platform. So every day we do a very humble attempt coming to the Bhagavatam class and Gita classes, formally or informally, doesn't matter. But we realize that this is the place where we can get purified. This is the place where we can get mercy. This process starts with Shravanam, then Kirtanam, and there's a reason for that. You know, in conditioned consciousness, in contaminated consciousness, our chanting of the holy name, I mean, we will get some benefit, but it will not be so beneficial because we're in material consciousness. Holy name is not manifesting, that is Nama Parat. So that's why we come to hear, preferably from completely pure devotees, and they can purify us, and they can like initiate us to a transcendental contact with Krishna in the form of transcendental sound, and that is where devotional service starts. At least for us, you know, we're just doing a sincere attempt, you know, together and to pray that Krishna will manifest in our midst in this attempt of hearing and chanting about Krishna, and then we will definitely, you know, get benefited. So Mahaprabhu is speaking to Sanatana Goswami. This is actually a very beautiful chapter, from the beginning to end. Practically the whole process of devotional service is so nicely explained, and if you start discussing it, elaborating on it, then you can see that it will relate to our devotional lives at any stage, in any possible situation. In verse 103, Sanatana Goswami is saying a very remarkable thing. He's saying, actually, I do not know how to inquire about the goal of life and the process for obtaining it. Being merciful upon me, please explain all these truths. So Sanatana Goswami is posing himself to be very humble. Now, we talk about this humility a lot, Trinada, Peace, Unichena. And we have to be humble. We want to be humble. We're trying to be humble. But the humility required to qualify us to receive transcendental knowledge is really a very special kind of humility. You know, if in material consciousness you are trying to become humble, I mean, you may do some efforts and Krishna may appreciate your attempt, but if Krishna is not going to help us in that effort, we can never become truly humble, because our false ego, Maya, will always trick us. That is the whole point. That in this age there is no possibility of becoming sadhana siddha. Definitely we are not nitya siddha. We cannot become sadhana siddha. The process of sadhana siddha explained in the shastras is not for us. We don't have qualification to do that, not at all. It requires you to take birth in a very pure Vaishnava family, and it requires already a very high elevated level of surrender in your past life. So the only hope for us is Kripa, that by mercy of Sri Guru and Krishna, we become purified and we make advancement on this path. So by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we can become really humble. And that humility is one which in the first place completely exposes us. As Guru and Krishna are putting a mirror before us, and we are able to have a very Shri Radha Gopinath ki. we are able to have a very realistic perspective on ourselves. And that is even really before the process of devotional service in tattva, in the absolute sense, starts. Because as long as we are bewildered by material energy in a way that, you know, thinking ourselves maybe to be more advanced than we really are, and asserting ourselves into this process of devotional service, this jnana, mishra bhakti, still using our intelligence too much, more in a way than faking it, just assimilating, simulating the mood and the feelings of devotional service. I mean, it may be helpful. Krishna will see if there is some sincerity. Krishna will see the effort, and they will purify us. But ultimately, this will result into a point where Guru and Krishna make arrangements for us to become very, very sober. And the conclusion, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his bhajans, he's doing the same thing as Sanatana Goswami is doing here. He's singing all these bhajans, and then we think, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is putting himself so humbly. And he's saying, I don't have anything, I have no karma. Karma means the ability to act in a pious way, and live a normal, decent life in this material world. I have no jnana, and I have no bhakti. And they very strongly, they feel it. Why? Because Krishna has brought them to that realization. And Sanatana Goswami is putting himself in the same condition here. Now, afterwards, Mahaprabhu is saying, no, it's not like that, and you're very qualified. But Sanatana Goswami is feeling like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is feeling like that. They are acharyas, and acharyas, they teach by example. You know, so by Krishna's merciful arrangement, these, because they're nityasiddhas in this case, Krishna puts them in a similar situation as we will find ourselves in. And the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita is nothing more than the relations of Krishna and his pure devotees and the process of devotional service. And it's only meant for our benefit, because the only reason this has ever been recorded or written down in a book is for our benefit. So again, this humility, and it's really something extraordinary. You know, when Krishna starts exposing our self-cheating propensities and the unlimited ways of which we are unconscious of our own anarthas and our own mistakes, that generally happens. We're very expert, you know, at seeing the faults in others and then not really being able to perceive the real condition of our own heart. We have a very selective intelligence in that way. So we just really see what we want to see and believe what we want to believe. And then Krishna has to expose all of that, you know. And initially, you know, if we're really sincere, then Krishna will give some glimpses. And these experiences are very uncomfortable. They're very uncomfortable, you know. The foundations of your whole system, they will shake. You know, the false ego will be so much disturbed when Krishna actually does that type of operation. And most of the times, even when Krishna is giving us an opportunity to get purified like that, then we run away, you know. We don't want that experience. And somehow or other, we try to get in a different mood, not understanding that Krishna is making these arrangements for us to become purified. Definitely purification, going through anartha nivritti, is a very a little bit painful and awkward process. It's not very nice, you know, but we have to tolerate that. We will do everything, you know, to feel good about ourselves and have a good opinion about ourselves, and very often, based on these motivations for material happiness, we just settle with whatever conditioning we have. You know, we're situated in this process. Process is very powerful. You know, we're living a little bit in a sattvic mode now, and the many sufferings are gone, so we're quite satisfied with the platform we're on now. But it may not be, you know, pure devotional service to Krishna. We may not even be starting that. So, you know, when the days pass by and the months and the years pass by, there has to come a time that we are going to say to Krishna, no more, and now I want to really make some advancement. And then the first Krishna is going to do is again, is going to to purify us like that, and it's very uncomfortable for the false ego. But we have to go through that, you know. And it comes in little moments at first, but then later on, if we convince Guru and Krishna that we really want to go for this process, then Krishna will say, all right, now I can really do my work. And it requires a lot of surrender and a lot of, surrender, because it requires a lot of intelligence from Krishna in order to go through that process. Tesham satata yutanam bhajatam priti purvakam. If the intelligence is not coming from Krishna, we can never make it through anartha nivritti. It's impossible. See, anartha nivritti only takes place when we are in contact with Krishna transcendentally. So if our surrender is conditional, are sentimental, it means that we're still living under the material energy. So our surrender has to be pure, at least for some moments. And in that pure consciousness, there will be, through the process of devotional service, there will be a contact with Krishna. And that contact will purify the anarthas. So that's why the whole process of devotional service is based upon adau shraddha. And it is said that adau shraddha is of the same quality as Krishna prema. It is a manifestation of the Swarup Shakti, which is internal potency. And based upon, and that places us in pure consciousness, in a liberated state of consciousness. And in that consciousness, we do sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, and that purifies the anarthas. But in the beginning, I mean, we feel quite cozy here. It's like, acharyas have said that, like a worm in the stool. The worm thinking, oh, it's quite nice here, it's warm, you know. It's a nice environment here, I feel pretty good here. So when you take out the worm from the stool, he will really be unhappy, you know, he will not like it. So we are like that. We are really like that. We are so accustomed to living in this material mind and in this material body that the first moments of a pure experience are very, very disturbing to us, you know. Especially when not initially, you know, so the first sample pieces, when you go to like some shop and you want to buy some, I don't know, some shampoo, you get some sample. The sample pieces are always nice. But then when Krishna is directing this whole process towards anartha nivritti, you know, based upon these sample pieces, that's a whole different story. And then now that Svarup Shakti is going to burn up our material desires, our false ego, our attachments, you know. But ultimately, the material mind has to be completely disintegrated, completely destroyed. You know, the material mind is completely unwanted. So Krishna is really going to kill it, and that's it. Requires a lot of faith and a lot of surrender to completely go to anartha nivritti. It's very logical. You know, if you completely convince Krishna, if we completely convince Krishna that we want to only surrender to him, that we only want him, only want to please him, and that we don't want Maya in any way anymore, then Krishna, he will bless us with adau shraddha, which is of a perfect quality. That is called the bhakti lata beach. So it's a perfect seed. You know, when we didn't completely convince Krishna, let's say 90%, you may say that's pretty good, you know, for 90% I want Krishna, for 90% I want to surrender to Krishna. It's quite a lot, you know, 90%. Only for 10%, you know, still some little hopes, maybe from Maya in some way or other, you know, some little aspirations. Maybe we may not even aspire for it, we may not even act upon it, but still, you know, deep in the heart, hidden, some hopes, you know, of still having some things fulfilled. Then Krishna cannot bless us with adau shraddha, which is of a perfect quality. And the result of that will be that we will only receive instructions from Guru and Krishna, you know, on that level of faith. Because if we receive instructions higher than the faith we get, then ultimately the test will be so big that the choice between following Guru and Krishna's instructions and just really still keeping those little desires for myself, then we will ultimately fail the test, and we will choose for our material desires and for our material life. Really, we make a statement to Krishna, from Krishna, really, I don't want you. I don't want you, because this process of devotional service, you know, getting Krishna is an everything or nothing story, really. In the beginning, okay, whatever you do is good, but if you really want to get Krishna in one lifetime, and if you want to completely surrender to Krishna and go back to Goloka Vrindavan, then it is an everything or nothing story. You know, 99% doesn't count. It has to be 100%. Because only based upon full surrender, making that statement to Krishna from I want you, and being completely convinced about that, Krishna will give you that faith, which will result in instructions also of the same level of surrender, which will enable you to go to anartha nivritti. Then the last tinges of anarthas will be purified. So, I mean, it places things in perspective, you know, because also in these verses, it all centers around transcendental knowledge. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving transcendental knowledge to Sanatana Goswami for a good reason. In Gita, Krishna does the same thing. In the Bhagavatam, is full of it. That's why this is called Bhagavad Dharma. You know, Guru, sadhus, acharyas, and Krishna have this very clear purpose that in their preaching, in trying to educate spiritually the conditioned souls, they are presenting transcendental knowledge in a very clear and distinct way. Because they want to make a distinction from what is material world and what is spiritual world. So we'll read a little bit further and then we can elaborate on that. Mahaprabhu is saying, Lord Krishna has bestowed his full mercy upon you so that all these things are known to you. For you, the threefold miseries certainly do not exist. Mahaprabhu is basically glorifying Sanatana Goswami and in a way telling him that, okay, you're posing yourself as a conditioned soul, but I know really who you are. Since you possess Lord Krishna's potency, you certainly know these things. However, it is the nature of a sadhu to inquire. Although he knows these things, the sadhu inquires for the sake of strictness. Sadhu Acharya inquires for the sake of strictness. You know? Why? Because they know that we have to follow this process. And if they won't do that, then some conditioned soul may think, oh, you know, quote Shastra, Sanatana Goswami is not doing it. You see? But we're not really on the same level. So they really, it's almost like a play. That they're just enacting this whole lila, this play, just to benefit us. And they don't want to give us any chance to allow ourselves to cheat ourselves. You know? So that's why acharyas are very strict. Those who are eager to awaken their spiritual consciousness and who thus have unflinching, undeviated intelligence certainly attain the desired goal of life very soon. So here, Mahaprabhu is giving it as a qualification, you know, to attaining the desired goal of life, Nitya Krishna Das, to become the eternal servant of Krishna very soon. And the qualification to obtain that is have unflinching, undeviated intelligence. Again, I mean, it's a clue, you know. It's not that, okay, you become a servant of Krishna and the result will be that you will have unflinching, undeviated intelligence. Huh? No, it's the opposite way around. First you have unflinching, undeviated intelligence and then you get Krishna. But how do you qualify yourself like that? You see, so reading a little bit further. You are fit to propagate the cult of devotional service. Therefore, gradually hear all the truths about it from me. I shall tell you about it. And again, the process of hearing. We'll come back to that. And then today's verse, the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna, because he is the marginal energy of Krishna and a manifestation simultaneously one with and different from the Lord. Like a molecular particle of sunshine of fire, Krishna has three varieties of energies. So there is the Swarup Shakti, the internal energy, the marginal energy, the Tatashta Shakti, and the external energy, Maya Shakti. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that the Tatashta Shakti is by nature dependent, you know, either on the Swarup Shakti or the Maya Shakti. And somehow or other, so the Tatashta Shakti Jiva cannot live separately. And now we became influenced by Maya. And it is explained, acharyas have explained, that because, like, as the constitution of water is wet, and the constitution of the jiva, tatashta jiva, is to be dependent on a superior energy, that once the jiva becomes influenced by maya shakti, that is actually an eternal position. Now he becomes nitya bada. Why he becomes nitya bada? Because there is no possibility for the soul to escape that situation. Even he, if he realizes the Brahman, he will have to fall back. On his own strength, it means, by his own intelligence, or with the instruments that jiva has now received from material energy, the mind and the intelligence, or his body, that soul can never ever escape the influence of material energy. That's why this whole process is based upon mercy. You see? Then, the internal energy has three divisions, Samvit, Sandini, Ladini, and devotional service is a manifestation of that. You know, just think about it. That the devotional service, and devotional service is analyzed in nine steps from Adau Shraddha to Krishna Prema, is a manifestation of the Swarup Shakti. I think you were bringing up that point. It has Adau Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha. But saying some commentary was there, but before Adau Shraddha, there is also Sadhu Sangha. Yes, before Adau Shraddha, there is also Sadhu Sangha. But we misunderstand it. We think, okay, we start with a little bit faith. This faith brings us into the association of sadhu, which is also true in a more relative consideration. But if we accept a relative understanding of the Shastra, we will never be able to go back to Krishna, because it is still somewhere floating in our material intelligence. It's not pure understanding. So the actual understanding is that by sadhu sangha, we become purified. Sadhu Guru is very, very pure devotee. He manifests Krishna through his Harikatha. We become purified by that. It's like, you know, manifestation of Balaram, Nityananda, plowing the heart, purifying the heart, until we become qualified for Adau Shraddha. That we make this, it's very simple. You tell Krishna, Krishna, I want you, and I don't want Maya. If you can honestly, sincerely say that, then your contract for Goloka Vrindavan is signed. Because as soon as Krishna blesses you with perfect Adau Shraddha, your contract is signed, you're in. It's just now a matter of going through the stages. So we definitely we have developed faith, you know, but we have to develop it fully, you know, so that that faith can withstand all the impediments. So then, once that full faith on the first stage, Adau Shraddha, is being developed, received, you know, it's like a gift, Krishna's blessing us like that, then we speak of tattva vichar, then we speak of the absolute consideration and absolute understanding of this process of devotional service, and that, from Adau Shraddha to Krishna Prema, is manifestation of the Swarup Shakti, and there is no tinge of material influence. Adau Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, we receive instructions in that Sangha. By these instructions, we maintain the transcendental position. Before Nishtha, there is ample opportunity to get influenced by Maya again, it happens. You know, but by the instructions and by the constant guidance and chastisement of Guru and senior devotees, we remain in that consciousness until we are Nishtha, and then we are really liberated. So what comes after Nishtha, we should not talk too much about that, but for us it is really a bit of a challenge to be humble about, you know, how we are situated in regards to this process. You know, that is real humility. Because we cannot convince Guru and Krishna with some shallow, sentimental humility. They will not buy into that. They know what we're keeping behind. You know. They know that inside we still think that we're pretty nice devotees and we're pretty well situated. And things are quite all right. You know. But this is called callousness. And this callousness is completely disqualifies us from, you know, from really starting this process. So these things have to be completely destroyed and exposed, and then at the end, you know, materially, you don't have anything anymore to depend upon. You know, we depend upon our, maybe upon our birth, of our strength, or whatever opulence we have, you know, and then we take shelter of that, and that's like our trademark, you know. And the whole ego and mind and body is built around that. So coming to the point that Guru Krishna, I have nothing, you know, no bhakti, no karma, no jnana. And this is a really humble position, crying position, you know. If you don't have anything, then you cry, you know. It requires constant crying, constant lamenting, you know, to Guru and Krishna. This mood has to be constantly there. This is one of the symptoms. If we're like qualifying ourselves, you know, to receive adau shraddha of that quality, we will be in a constant lamenting and crying mood, being very sober and very humbling, doing our service, and just completely depending upon Krishna, you know, realizing that our own strength, our own intelligence are completely unfit instruments to make advancement, you know, to please Krishna. Whenever the tests are coming, when material desires and attachments are arising in the heart, really realizing how to surrender to Krishna, how to be dependent upon Him. Being in constant contact with that, you know, the Dhammi Buddhi Yoga, with that intelligence coming from Krishna. He's our best friend and our best guide, staying in the heart. And but this is the way, you know, this is the way forward. And there are no shortcuts, there are no alternatives. And it's very unpleasant really to head into that direction, because it's the last thing the false ego and the mind want. It's the last very thing they want. You know, so as long as we identify with mind and body, we cannot, even scientifically, we cannot just go through this process. We cannot. So that's why we pray for the blessing of pure consciousness, which is adau shraddha. Adau shraddha puts us in a transcendental consciousness, you know, aloof from material energy. And then, you know, we can really get purified. Those, the instructions we receive, the intelligence we receive then, being from inside and then confirmed by gurus or by devotee, doesn't matter. Then we can remain in that consciousness, and that pure state of consciousness purifies the anarthas. Yeah? Because the process of devotional service from beginning to end is a manifestation of this Svarup Shakti. So at every stage it is practiced in a transcendental consciousness above the modes of material nature. The moment we become influenced by Maya, we're not in the process anymore, really. Because under Maya you cannot get purified. If you're conditioned, influenced by material energy, there is no question of purification. There is only question of intelligence being covered over and degradation. And then, again, from that position, be transcendentally situated, it's not easy. Because it's based upon mercy. Then you have to go knocking the door, you know, and Krishna doesn't open immediately. You rascal, you know, I gave you, I blessed you before, and you know, you're not sincere, you're not following my instructions, so you're again covered over by material energy. And of course, in the beginning it's nice, because you're still running on the strength and all the blessings I gave you, so it's very nice, you know, to enjoy material world with still, you know, the remnants in your consciousness from a transcendental experience. But then, you know, a few days pass and you know, you become messed up, and the mind and senses are disturbing us, and oh, maybe I did something wrong, you know, and then we're 1 week further. We're so dull. And then again, going to Krishna, to Guru Krishna, and crying, oh Krishna. And of course, you know, to teach us, he will not immediately reciprocate. And then we have to cry and cry and cry every moment again, 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 until again, okay, another chance. Don't try to mess it up this time. And this intensity of surrender in devotional service are really signs that we're like narrowing down, you know. And the more we become sincere and serious, the finer the line gets, and the boundaries of what Krishna is tolerating, they become smaller. You know, so just really before you, because it is either Maya or Krishna, you know. So really, to completely surrender and to be transcendentally situated, it's like a razor's edge, you know. And you cannot walk on that razor's edge, you know. It's like Krishna has to do that for you. He has to carry you. We are Tatastha Jiva Shaktis. We are dependent, but we have become accustomed to being dependent upon Maya Shakti. Now we have to become accustomed to being dependent upon Krishna. You know, giving up this whole psychology of trying to control, trying to lord it over. It's a very deep-rooted disease in our heart. You know? And in the beginning we will slip definitely, but we have to learn this. You know? Personally, I like to hear these things because it puts things really into perspective. And I find that this is very helpful and beneficial for my own practice. You know, moments that these realizations are not so strong, you become callous, take things for granted, and after some time you just realize that you're wasting your time. You know? So it requires a certain discipline and approach, you know, to your spiritual life to push it in that way. Asat Sangha Tyaga, you know. Little Asat Sangha and the whole thing becomes spoiled. You have to be very strict to protect your consciousness. I think we will stop here. Anybody wants to add something or ask something? Well, that is the problem, you know. There is this story that there was a man and he never tasted sweet in his life. And people are giving him everything, you know. They're feeding him anything. All salty things. And one day, one guy is coming, also with a salty dish. But it was something different, something he hadn't eaten before. And he said, "This is sweet. Oh, this is sweet." So he's eating that, and the taste was a little bit different, but it was not sweet, it was something else. And then he said, and he went around in the whole world and telling, this is sweet, I just tasted sweet, you know, I saw the light, I tasted sweet. But then there was another person, really a devotee, and he already tasted sweet. He was one of the few persons who tasted sweet. And the other one was very, with a lot of pride, proclaiming that he tasted sweet. And then the other one said, "You didn't taste sweet. You tasted salty, you know. You may think it's sweet, but it's really salty, you know." And then, of course, the other one starts arguing, and they end up in a whole fight, you know, because how can he accept that it is not sweet? You know, it has to be sweet. It was different. And he didn't want to believe him. And then the other one with the sweet dish, some rasgulla, he gave him. And he said, "Now this is sweet." And he put it in his mouth and he said, "Wow, what is this? This is sweet. And what is this then? I don't know, but you got cheated. I got cheated." You know. So that is the answer to your question. You can only understand it if you taste it. And that places things into perspective. So, but what we do, you know, we often think that maybe our influence of sattva gun are even some transcendental influence, but still not purely conceived, still some tinges of Maya are there, that this is sweet, but it's still like the little, maybe, different taste of salt. And best thing to do is just pray to Krishna. Pray to Krishna. And once that Rasgulla will be given, then you will know. I wanted to add one more thing, that because we think, no, we follow this process, and at the end we surrender to Krishna. We followed it, and at the end, you know, when everything goes right, when I'm a pure devotee, then I will surrender to Krishna. It's a complete misunderstanding. In the beginning, we surrender to Krishna. You see? The first moment. Because before surrender, full surrender, and not only half of partial surrender, or conditional surrender, or sentimental surrender, but full surrender, and we fully surrender, then we get Adavashraddha. And then we can start this process. Why? Because it has to be transcendental. If it's not a manifestation of the Swarup Shakti, it doesn't purify us. It's logical. You know? Any child can understand this. It has to be transcendental in order to purify us. In order for it to be transcendental, we have to fully surrender first. But we are delaying that surrender. Oh, I have still some slack, you know? Not so old yet, and you know, I still have some things I can do. Yes, that's the best way. Yes, Hare Krishna. 10 o'clock? 10 o'clock. Yes, that's essential. No, Krishna will convince you. Because we cannot convince ourselves. That's the whole point. We are conditioned souls. You will just go to your mind or your intelligence trying to convince your soul. But it's an unfit instrument. This is Jnana Mishra Bhakti. It's not the right process. Krishna can convince you. Go to Krishna, cry before Krishna, and depend upon him. Because it's in line with the nature of the process. Receiving mercy. The mercy comes from up, from above to down. There is no other way. Yeah. Yeah. What? Which instrument? Yes, it's very dangerous. You have to go to Krishna, to Sadhguru Krishna, with an empty pot. But the pot is filled to the brim with dirt. And that is this mental speculation. Everything we try to do on our own strength. And Krishna, give me mercy, give me mercy. Yeah, Bare Baba, your pot is filled. How can I give you mercy? So that's why first heavy beatings, you know, required. Because we're so attached to this pot. And then, you know, by beatings of Maya, okay, maybe I should think and then take out little dirt, you know. Very proud we come back here. Here's my pot. Krishna smiles a little bit, but okay. And he's thinking, such asses, you know. So slow. Why they're so attached to this dirt, to this mental speculation. Okay, once our pot is empty, here Krishna, give me mercy. Then he pours it full with nectar. That is the idea. But we're fully dependent at every step of the process, fully dependent. And we have to realize that. We have to pray for these realizations, you know. That we can do. And try to, because we can only see. We cannot control mind and intelligence. We can see, and based upon that intelligence, pray and cry. And just pray for the next thing to happen, okay. Krishna, please give me this. But everything should be based upon this process and what should happen next, and what mood should be developed, like that. Cooperating a little bit, you know, with Guru and Krishna. Little bit. Trying. Alright, we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Kantarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki, Itai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bhava.